Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you so much.
Feel like $1 million.
Shout out TMZ, you up?
Let me check out that rig.
TMZ stands for the Mayweather Zone.
How'd you find me, bro? I got my disguise on.
I love my TMZ family. My sports.
Welcome to TMZ Sports. Michael Babcock will be back with us shortly, but until then, the triumvirate has returned, the team of Mojo Muttati, Lucas Widman, and Edward Lewis. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are opening up the show with a bar fight, a vicious, nasty one that involves a two-time Pro Bowler, Lucas Widman. You got the details. What's up?
So Vince Young had quite the eventful trip to the bar on February 4th. He went to Tokyo Joe's, a shop bar in Houston, and apparently got into a bit of a disagreement with some patrons at the bar. As you can see there, he's the guy wearing the white hat and the black shirt. There's a bit of a disagreement going on, and then things turn physical. Vince actually starts shoving somebody, and it's not just between one or two people. You actually see a lot of guys in the bar get involved in this, and at one point there was someone who claims that there was a beer bottle hit in the face with a beer bottle, and then he was also elbowed. But as you can see, you know, things kind of unfold, and it goes out throughout the entire bar, moving over to the other side, and then at one point you just see Vince Young get clocked, and he goes out. It looks like he actually went unconscious. He was lying on the floor for a bit, but we still don't necessarily know what's going on, but we reached out to Houston PD, and Ed's going to give a little bit more information about this here, about what kind of led to it, but still a lot of questions remain about what exactly went down.
So the allegation, when I spoke to the Houston Police Department, is this, that the bar owner filed a police report. He did not want to press charges, but he wanted it all documented. And in this report, he alleged that Vince, another one of his party members, got into it with others at the bar area over some kind of conversation involving race. We don't know what was exactly said or what that implies, but that's allegedly the impetus for this fight. But now, believe it or not, the bar owner is alleging that Vince was not the victim, but rather the bar owner who did the punching was the victim. In the police report, cops tell us that the bar owner claimed he was the one hit in the face with a drink and then later elbowed. So yeah, if you can believe that, Mojo, that after getting knocked out in a bar, that they potentially believe he might have been the aggressor or in the wrong in this situation. Now, no arrests were made. Like I said, the bar owner don't want to press charges, so it doesn't seem like anybody's under investigation. Obviously, the bar owner can still go forward and sometime in the future press charges, but at this point, it looks like everybody's done with this situation moving on. But we reached out to Vince. There was no comment, so that's where it stands now. It's a crazy story.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Vince would exactly say after that, and it certainly sounds like we would probably have a he said kind of a situation here, and yeah, maybe all parties agree it's better to just part from this thing and separate entirely from it and leave it alone. All I can talk about right now, though, is this knockout shot. My goodness, that was brutal. I mean, look at the way Vince's body just goes out, collapses straight down. Thankfully, no more damage was done. I mean, usually with knockout punches like that, it's not always the shot itself that does the damage. It's your head spiking off of the ground if you go unconscious from the shot. I mean, that can be a way more disastrous situation, the back of your skull bouncing off of the ground. Of course, that being a way more vulnerable and weaker part of the skull. So serious brain injuries can occur when you fall to that particular spot. That occipital lobe is nasty, but oh my goodness, what a nasty knockout. So glad everyone's okay. And, you know, it is kind of nice to see everyone's just part ways from this and moving on. This isn't going to drag out into some legal battle. Maybe that's both sides admitting there was probably some sort of wrongdoing here and they could move on. But my goodness, I can't get over that shot. All right, fellas, let's move on past that fight and keep this show moving right along to play our favorite game. Where in the world are Taylor and Travis? Edward, you know, tell us, where are they?
Most recently in West Hollywood, obviously here in the Los Angeles area. And initially, it looked like they were ruining a bunch of gym goers' lives. So let me explain. The two were spotted at the Dog Pound Gym here. It's a very like celebrity-oriented gym. A lot of like famous people work out there, and it kind of caters to that sort of audience. But obviously, there are some normies that go there and have memberships there and this, that, and the other. Well, Taylor and Travis were there, and as part of the standard operating procedure at this gym, when there's big, high-profile people like that, they boot people out of the gym and let them work out. Well, initially, it looked like people were waiting outside were actual gym goers. You can see they were kind of in workout attire. And then, the word was that it was for a couple hours. And everybody thought, whoa, what is Taylor and Travis doing? Now, we spoke with a rep for the Dog Pound, and they told us that, no, these weren't gym goers, and this is an appointment-only kind of situation. And these people who were actually outside of the facility were employees. So it wasn't anybody who was waiting or anything like that. And we were told that they were only inside for about an hour. So they didn't ruin anybody's days, per se. They were just lifting weights and getting into workout. But yeah, I mean, Taylor and Travis traveling all around the world and now working out together, apparently.
I think the timing is pretty interesting, especially because the pictures that we saw of them being all lovey-dovey in the Bahamas, a lot of people were actually saying, you know, Travis kind of looked like he put on a little bit of weight, and people were making the comparisons to Patrick Mahomes' dad bod. Now, this is the pot calling the kettle black. I think he looked exactly totally fine, but maybe because of the reactions that he was getting, he was like, yo, babe, we got to go to the gym, and I got to work on shedding some of these pounds.
We did talk about that a little bit on the show yesterday, Lucas, but hey, man, that is what you're supposed to do when you win the Super Bowl, right? I mean, how lame would you be if you won the Super Bowl and you didn't go out and celebrate it and enjoy it? I mean, you just spent the better part of a year practicing every single day, weights every single day, and film study and all of these things. I mean, your body a lot of times is operating at a massive deficit. So if you can take a little bit of time off and maybe re-bulk up and refuel after the season, you're certainly entitled to that. As far as the Dog Pound goes, I'm glad to see that we got some updated notes on this story, because I know the Dog Pound. I've never trained there, but I know a lot of people that do, and they take it extremely seriously. I'll even take what you said a step further, that it's not just where celebrities go to work out. It's where the celebrities that train in a hardcore way go to work out. They put in serious work at that gym. So to boot all those people out for a private workout, I mean, yeah, you're probably going to understand if it's Taylor and Travis, and you're definitely going to understand if they bought out the place and spent a ton of money for that, right? But yeah, good to see that wasn't the case. Coming up next on TMZ Sports, only 16 teams left in March Madness. Coming up next, we sit down with Dan Dockage to break down the tourney. Check it out next on TMZ Sports.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. R-A-K-U-T-E-N.
Welcome back to TMZ Sports. Mike Babcock here. Mojo will be back with us in just a few minutes. But the Sweet 16 is set. We are fully into March Madness. Who's going to win? What's the rest of the tournament shaping up to look like? I don't know. But this man right here does, because he's done everything from play, coach. I mean, you name it, he does it. Our guy, of course, Outkick's own Dan Dockage. Dan, how are you, man?
Hey, man, I'm great. You kidding me? What a day. You guys are hot on Pete Diddy. I'm hot on the tournament. Life is good, right? It's all good.
For some of us. Yeah, maybe not for him, yeah, but.
Right.
All right, Dan, let's get into this thing. Look, we've had our fair share of upsets for sure. All four number one seeds make their way through. We got UConn, Purdue, Houston, UNC alive. As we sit here now a few days before these Sweet 16 games kick off here, how are you looking? How are you feeling about this thing?
You know, I think it's been fun. I love the Kentucky game. I like Cal. I like Kentucky. But the coach at Oakland's been a longtime friend of mine. And to see him have that moment, right? 40 years, his players making bombs. Calipari's got the whole weight of the world on his shoulders. And now it's like they're waiting for the smoke to come out of the Vatican to see if Cal's keeping his job. Oh, I love it. And, Mike, I think Purdue and UConn, man, they're good. I hope we get a final of those two, even though I'm an Indiana guy. I'm not supposed to say that. But those two teams have been dominant all year, and you saw them on this weekend. They just kicked everybody's you-know-what. So I thought it's been really fun. I love the fact that, you know, there's blue bloods. I love the fact that there's been some upsets. But I think it's been great, great theater.
What's the mindset, Dan? Because these are not just regular games. I mean, these obviously are games where you've got millions and millions of people watching. They're a big deal. I mean, you're a guy who has played in a Sweet 16. Yeah. You played against the greatest basketball player of all time, in my mind, in Michael Jordan. What is the mindset as a player heading into the biggest game of their lives?
You know, you got to be able to handle success, Mike. Like, people think you got to be able to handle failure. No, you go back on your college campus, and everyone's kissing your you-know-what. All of a sudden, the level of girl that's talking to you rises a little bit, Mike. All of a sudden, that sorority queen is now noticing you, Mike. I'm telling you, it's a big deal. It really is. And coaches, when the plane was landing or the bus was pulling in, they were talking to their players about what I just said. Look, great, but we got to stay focused. Don't get in trouble. Go to class if they're in school, let them around spring break. And for God's sake, remember how we got here. Don't start thinking you're a star. Don't start thinking every night I'm watching ESPN to think I'm on it and my phone's ringing. Mike, people always, I played for the great Bobby Knight, and people always ask me, what's the best thing you thought he did as a coach? He made you handle success. Like, you beat whoever. By the time you're landed, or by the time you're out of that gym, you think you just lost by 20, man, because he's got you going. And that is so – that's where Danny Hurley is so good at this, because he just keeps driving. And Purdue's mature, so they'll be able to handle it. But I'm curious, because you got a whole week here, right? You got home yesterday or Saturday night, whatever. And now all of a sudden, man, campus is different. Campus is alive, and they're alive because of you. And you got to be able to handle that bad boy. It ain't easy.
Dan, I can't let you go without asking you about what I would imagine is an absolutely incredible honor and well-deserved, obviously, captain at Indiana. But you were inducted into Indiana's State Hall of Fame. How awesome. What does that mean to you as a guy who is a basketball player in Indiana? I mean,
yeah, that meant a lot. I didn't even, when I grew up, I didn't even know they had a Hall of Fame. I grew up in Northwest Indiana, Gary, Indiana. We were part of Chicago. But, you know, I wish my dad was there. I called my family, and then I called two high school teammates of mine and asked them to come because they passed me the ball. They had no ego. They were a year ahead of me. Wow. They didn't care. And they taught me how to be a teammate. So, my kind of thing was, look, if I'm going in, we're all going in. And it was just cool. My kids were there, my daughter, my son. And you know what? It was – I got goosebumps when I got it. I got more goosebumps being there. Thank you for asking. It was an honor I did not expect. Let's put it that way.
But an honor that was well-deserved. Dan, thank you so much. As always, of course, everyone check out Don't At Me on OutKick. Absolutely awesome show featuring yours truly right here, Dan Dockett. Dan, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And we'll see what happens here in these next couple of weeks.
Anytime, Mike. Good talking to you, brother. Thank you.
You too.
We are coming in hot today because we got former UFC fighter, former WWE wrestler, the man himself, Matt Riddle. Matt, what's up, buddy? How you been, brother?
Dude, I've been great, traveling to Japan and everywhere else under the sun, winning championships, and just been busy. You know, I got fired from WWE, had that three-month break, that three-month vacation, and then but during that 3 months, I also had another kid and everything else, and then dealing with getting fired and figuring out the next steps, but I think I've figured them out okay. I'm doing all right. So, yeah, that's what's up.
Well, it certainly seems that way. Yeah, that 90-day period after departure from WWE can be a very stressful time for people trying to figure out what's next. But seems like you knocked it out of the park, man. Another kid. How many kids is that for you now?
Well, I got four that I know of biologically. And then my girlfriend has seven as well. So I think I raised about five kids, take care of a good amount of people, you know. But yeah, so I got four kids, two girls, twins, two boys, one 11, and then the other boy that I just had is like zero, I guess, or like 4 months. I don't know how you do that, but even though I've had four kids. But yeah, so this is number four, and pretty stoked, little Matthew. You know, my ex-wife would never let me name any of the or my boy, my other son, after me. So really happy that I'm with somebody now that will, you know, listen to some things I say.
It's awesome to see how much you've been crushing it on the outside. I mean, dude, let's dive right into it. You got a big one coming up this weekend, Friday, MLW War Chamber, Fajita for the title. Talk a bit about that match. I mean, how you've been preparing for it and your thoughts ahead of the weekend.
Well, you know, this match is this Friday, MLW War Chamber. I got Fajita-san, and the guy's no joke because they don't fly anybody over from Japan to the United States unless they bring the heat. I've seen his work. The guy's a stallion. He's put a couple people down. But I ain't just some person, you know. I'm the king of bros. I'm the rude dude. And this Friday, I'm going to keep my television world championship, and I'm going to beat Fajita-san, you know. And it's no disrespect, but you're coming to my turf. You know, I kind of rep MLW. They're my boys. You know, they take care of me. I take care of them. And of course, I won the New Japan Television Championship, and there's no way I'm going to let my boys down. I'm not going to let me down. I'm not going to let little Matthew down. I can't lose to Vegeta, so, you know. I mean, I know he wants that, but I can't let that happen. You know, but I think it's going to be a pretty high-octane match. It's going to be hard-hitting. Also, I believe I have another match this Friday as well, I think, against Timothy Thatcher. They do a doubleheader, so it's going to be a war for me because – both those opponents are very tough, very strong, very dominating, and they like to push a pace physically and mentally. So I think the best thing I can do is do what I always do, train my off, you know. You know, I'm a big believer in sweat equity and just putting that work in, and I have been. You know, I work out about twice a day, 4 to 5 times a week, kind of like when I was in the UFC. I plan on outworking everyone, doing more than anyone, and being more durable than everyone. So that's what I'm going to do, bro.
It's awesome to see you so happy. It's awesome to see you so successful. It's awesome to see you with so much gold behind your back. And come Saturday, I'm hoping it stays that way. Matt Riddle, thank you so much for joining us on TMZ Sports, my friend. It was good to link back up, brother.
It was awesome. Hopefully we can like catch some dinner or do something in the near future soon.
You already know, brother.
Yeah.
The triumvirate hath returned. Mojo Mutati, Lucas Whitman, and Edward Lewis. Guys, we got to get really serious for a second because Eric Decker had a very, very serious, extensive surgery. Yes, he got snipped. Edward, tell us all about it.
Yeah, Eric Decker has taken the steps to ensure he will never have another kid again following the birth of his fourth child last month. He got a vasectomy. And he had a little fun with the announcement. He posted a bunch of photos of him recovering from it. There's one where he has frozen peas on his private parts, and he's wearing a shirt that says he's a survivor. I kid you not. Jesse James Decker had a lot of fun with it as well. She left some emojis in the comment section. There was an eye roll emoji and some laughing emojis. So they were both obviously in great spirits about it. This is something that Eric finally got done, and they seemed to both be happy about it.
It's not really surprising if you've been following this couple for a long time, because they even spoke with us back in 2020 after they had their third kid. They're like, look, we're done. I'm mulling the idea of getting the procedure. We were done having kids and everything. It seemed like after every baby they had, they were like, this is it. We're done. That's final. But I am going to say, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to predict that they are going to have another kid. Just because they had a vasectomy doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Look at Antonio Cromartie. I think he had like how many kids after he had his procedure done. So they're not necessarily out of the woods just yet, but congratulations to them. It seems like they're very happy about the decision, and hopefully it works.
How rough have the past 9 months had to have been for these two that just last month they had their fourth kid and he already got the vasectomy. Like, let's just put ourselves in their shoes for just a second.
4 young children at home. Not 1, 2, 3. 4 young kids, including a newborn that's constant around the clock, nonstop attention for the both of them. But they were so adamantly against having a 5th kid that Eric still went to the hospital and had a vasectomy anyways to add to the chaos of all of this. I mean, look, I've never had a vasectomy, so I can't say firsthand how bad the recovery process must be. But I got to think my guy's going to be sidelined here for a little bit. Not a lot of help that maybe he can give to the wife and the 4 young kiddos. So the fact that he did this immediately afterwards, that's the funniest part of this whole thing to me. All right, everybody, that'll do it for us today on TMZ Sports. But before we go, we've already talked about bar knockouts, vasectomies, and Taylor and Travis maybe kicking people out of a gym. But before we go, we got even more bad news for you. Lucas, what is it?
For those who wanted to see Aaron Rodgers as the vice president, it's just not happening because RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., had a huge announcement on Tuesday in Oakland where he announced that it will be Nicole Shanahan who is running alongside him. Now, Nicole Shanahan is a big-time attorney. She was once married to the Google co-founder. So she's also made a donation to RFK Jr.'s campaign in the past as well. So it's not really that surprising, but for those who wanted to see Aaron Rodgers pursue his political aspirations, it's not going to happen this time around.
Just terrible, terrible, tragic news all day today on today's episode. But don't worry, guys. Tomorrow it will get better because we are going to sit down with Jeremy Roach, the captain of the Duke Blue Devils basketball team. And I think for sure that should make tomorrow the best show ever.